Did you know that the original Final Fantasy creator, Hironobu Sakaguchi, made a spiritual successor to that legendary series called Fantasian for Apple Arcade, and every level in the game is a handmade, physical miniature model? Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing, and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. That's sifter.com.au/arcade for a 1 month free trial of Apple Arcade, and you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. This offer is for new subscribers only. $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled.
Pixel Sifter is proudly supported by you, Mitchell. Look, sometimes people forget to turn their microphones on, and that's why you, you know, each week you can support this show so that we can learn how to use the microphone properly. And you can do that by going to the Pixel Sift store and buying yourself some merch. And that is pixelsift.com.au/sifters. And if you head to that address, you will get 25% off your next order. So you can buy some socks, you can buy a shirt, you can buy...
If you're watching in the chat, Nightbot's got you covered. You can just click that link right there.
There you go. We are very happy to have you support us, and 25% off. Get that. Sounds good, doesn't it, Mitch?
Yep, it does.
All right, let's jump in, shall we? Hello and welcome to episode 97 of Pixel Sift. My name is Gianni. I'm joined by Mitch.
I'm back in this chair.
I know.
I can't believe it.
He's back for...
Yeah.
We don't know how long. As long as he plays his cards right, he'll still be there for
a while. Well, you fired me twice last week and I'm still here.
I didn't fire you. I just made you the intern, which was, you know, a bit of a disappointing embarrassment for you. But anyway, moving on. Who else we're joined by this week, Mitch? I hear you asking. We're joined by Justin Ung. He is from Gatai Games. They're based in Singapore. Justin, thank you very much for joining us.
Me. Yep.
Justin will be telling us all about his games Stifled and Muffled Warfare, but we're also going to be checking out something else today, aren't we, Mitch?
Yes, the world of Fortnite was taken by storm a couple of days ago when Epic announced that they were going to be pledging $100 million to their esports push in the coming year.
Sounds like a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
Let's jump in, shall we?
It is a lot of money.
Hey, Mitch, what are you doing this Friday?
I'm playing Fortnite this Friday.
But didn't you hate that game?
Yeah, but I'm going to go get my pickaxe anyway.
What time is it on?
It's on at 7:30 p.m. on every Friday night. We play Fortnite, and I hate it.
You'll love it.
Ugh.
On twitch.tv/pixelsift.
It is the worst, though. Like, Fortnite.
Can't be the worst. It's worth $100 million.
I know, yeah. So, Polygon...
Get the money.
Yeah, pretty much. So... Epic is putting forward $100 million for Fortnite's first year of esports tournaments. So it's about to kick. This is going to kickstart into overdrive, I assume, in an Overwatch League style fanfare and production style, I think. And that's what you can expect out of it. I think most of the people will be working on both.
It's a little bit thin on the ground about the detail at this stage, but what it looks like is they're going to have sort of like a fund available. So if you want to run your own esports tournament, you can kind of apply to Epic and say, can I have some money, please? Money, please. and yeah, that's the idea, that they're kind of moving from sort of a grassroots sort of perspective rather than maybe doing, you know, a high profile, high scale production. I'm sure there will be high profile stuff as well.
It does beg the question, how much will this $100 million... How far will it go? Because it seems like they're going to be pretty generous with it in regards to what it will take to actually start one of these. So, I mean, it'll be an 100-person tournament during E3. I mean, that's already like Fortnite Party Royale. That's already happening. So I'm wondering if this will dig into those funds already.
Yeah, and one of the things that Epic said is that they're getting behind competitive play in a big way, but our approach will be different. We plan to be more inclusive and focused on the joy of playing and watching the game. So that, to me, sounds pretty interesting in comparison to this sort of high-profile, slick production and all of that sort of thing. Justin, what do you think about this this money, this $100 million that they've got there wanting for people who want to play Fortnite?
I feel like I should start playing and then possibly get some money to make more games.
Do you build your stuff in an Unreal?
No, we mostly do it on Unity.
Yeah. Oh, it sounds like you have to switch over and get into the Fortnite game. What I think is really interesting about this is obviously it's a huge amount of money we're talking about here, but we've got some information about some other games that have put stuff in. So Dota 2 last year put in $38 million in prize money, and that's mostly through their large-scale organized tournaments that they've had. And the international in 2017 was a pool of nearly $25 million. And that money kind of came from people in the who are buying the passes and are actually kind of taking part in it that way. So
yeah, like you buy, like I think for Dota, if I'm not wrong, when you buy a certain in-game item, you actually contribute to the pool. Yeah, I think that's like the biggest difference here. Mm. Because like this is Unreal just straight up throwing money saying, okay, we're just going to put 100 million up. And then the thing is, they're not, I'm not seeing the details of how they're going to spend it. Are they going to spend it on funding the tournaments, or is it just prize money? And that's like, that's what I'm interested to see.
Yeah. It seems like I would think that they would mainly put that money into funding the tournaments, and the prize money might come from a similar situation where you buy an in-game item. Because the prize money is a bit, I don't know, it seems like it'll be a bit weird to...
It sort of looks like they're just putting the money forward. I mean, Epic has other sources of revenue. Obviously, Fortnite must be making enough money that this seems like a really reasonable investment that they're going to put into the money. There isn't sort of, I guess, a time frame as well. Is it $100 million over the next 3 years? Is it just $100 million a year? Is it a once-off $100 million? We'll see what happens. So I guess that's the sort of thing that looks a bit different. But to me, it doesn't seem like it will be tied to items that are in-game that will directly contribute, unlike the Dota sort of circumstance.
I mean, we know very little about it to begin with.
Yes.
There are a couple of like article quotes that I can go off. Like, it would make Fortnite one of the biggest esports in the world if like even a fraction of the people were to participate that are playing it. Because so many people are playing it. It's just like it's unbelievable. I don't think anyone has experienced this kind of explosive growth ever.
I think the biggest issue with having a battle royale based kind of like esports, right, is there could possibly be quite a bit of wait time because there's just way too much going on, and when people spawn or they drop into different spaces, and they just there's going to be a good chunk of like 10 minutes when they are just like searching for stuff, or the person just dies in the first 10 minutes, and that could become an issue when it comes to like having something fun to watch, but with $10 million, I think they can solve it.
Yeah.
Because that was one of the problems with the PUBG match that was held. I think it was last year, and one of the issues with it was it wasn't particularly engaging for the live audience because it was just a person sitting in a room. For the person that won, sat in a room or sat in some cover for about the whole game, and then at the end it was a fight, and then there wasn't really a way to portray it. Like with Overwatch, there's a little bit of consistency where a game is not really going to last traditionally more than about 10 minutes to 15 minutes, one match. And you can kind of regulate that into like a couple of hours of broadcast time. But in a game of Fortnite, they're so irregular. You're never going to know exactly how long one's going to last. So they're going to have to find out an average. I think the game is going to have to, you're going to have to some, they're going to have to come up with some sort of competitive mode. Like Overwatch has its separate competitive mode. I think it's going to have to happen. Something like that is going to have to be made to make it a little bit more standardized and a little bit easier to predict regarding broadcast time.
I think what was also interesting is the fact that they're obviously Battle Royale, and I expect we'll see much more from this at E3 this year. But Battle Royale has obviously been very much on trend, and people are definitely trying to get into it. We know Call of Duty, the new Call of Duty, is definitely going to have a Battle Royale mode in it, but I wouldn't be surprised if the new Battlefield, which was just announced this morning, will have some sort of Battle Royale in it. It's set up for those big battles, it has been. And whether or not that actually now with this money here, where Epic have put their money where their mouth is, is it going to further drag the industry in that direction? Justin, what do you think about that?
Okay, so I think with like Battle Royale, it started off like as PUBG and then Fortnite. Those were the games that kind of put it to the forefront, into the mainstream, and they were like genre games. But right now it's looking like it's going to become kind of like a game mode that is in every single first person shooter or any kind of game that could support it, right? So it's kind of like a Dark Souls situation where now there are a lot of games that it's Dark Souls but with this, but now it's going to be like, oh, it's PUBG but with this, right? So it's going to become very samey after a while, and it'll get very, very saturated. So, but in the meantime, it's still a lot of hype. But if any developer says they want to like make a BR game now, I'll be like, unless you have a lot of money, like $100 billion, I probably not do it. Yeah.
It does come with the times. It's almost like Capture the Flag was one of these things where every game had a Capture the Flag. Well, every shooter had a Capture the Flag mode. Mm. And now it moved on to Horde mode. Like every combat oriented game for a while had a Horde mode because of Gears of War.
Yeah.
And now it seems like even Halo ODST was a Horde mode game with a story tacked onto it.
Mm.
And now we have Battle Royale mode, which is now it seems that the two leading games are just that, Battle Royale games. And
yeah,
is what is essentially a game mode enough to hold Steam for so long? Because if you're going to, we're only in maybe the second year of Fortnite and it's technically not even out yet. So are they going to burn through it before the game's even out?
So I think the biggest benefit or like the biggest thing that Battle Royale games have going for them, right, in general, is the mechanics themselves play very well to like the luck factor, because like when you drop, you have no idea where you're dropping, and then when you're there, you're trying to figure out what's the next weapon can I get, and then if you get a weapon, you'll be like, oh yeah, I got a decent weapon, and I just missed the guy. If you win, great, you keep going, right? If you die, and you're like, oh shit, if I just got a better weapon or if I got good at the game a bit more, I would be able to get the other guy. And the thing is, like, because the games are so massive, like these two games have such a big player base, the matches just come, like they just start so quickly, and it kind of keeps the loop going. So I think by design, the game has a lot going for it, because you can play alone, you can play as teams. Whereas like Capture the Flag or like Horde mode style and stuff, it's better to just play with friends, right? So it has itself going. It has a lot going for it, and I think it will be around for the foreseeable future.
Yep. Shy on Twitch has an interesting point and says that I think it's going to make PUBG rethink their structure as this is sort of big competition. They were big at PAX, so maybe Fortnite will just overtake it. Could be an interesting thing to see.
I would argue that it already has.
Yeah, massive. yeah, and I think probably a factor of that is Fortnite Battle Royale is free.
Yeah,
and
it's on. And not only is it free, if you have it on, I'm not sure about Xbox, but when you have it on, it isn't. But I'm not sure about Xbox. When you play it on PlayStation, you don't need PS Plus to play it.
Oh, right.
Yeah, you can just download Fortnite and you can just play online without it, without the extra subscription,
which is something that
fee.
Probably
that's massive.
A lot of other companies are not going to be in a position to negotiate. You know, Epic has got a lot of sway with these big companies, so they can say to them, "Look, this is a tentpole thing. We're going to get heaps of players, and we'll negotiate to pay whatever the cost is for that." There, Strictly Better says that for games as well, consistency is the issue. But Fortnite is geared better for competitive play than PUBG because of the shorter game times and the build mechanic, which allows for a higher skill cap.
Right.
And so every game is different, and the game modes can hold better attention than a Capture the Flag, for instance.
That's something that I always forget when playing Fortnite as well. The build mechanic is something that is another level of skill, and Strictly Better is completely correct. It just seems like another barrier for entry that you could kind of, your stats could be put into that, for lack of a better term, and you can get pros that are good at building instead of just relying on the luck factor, which is pretty much PUBG's only mechanic. It's the luck factor, apart from, you know, the traditional shooting.
Do you think anyone else is going to make a big play for this space?
Well, absolutely, yeah.
Justin?
Blizzard is going to.
I don't really have an opinion about like whether other game developers would go into Battle Royale, but it seems like people are doing it already. So you guys mentioned, right, like Call of Duty, Battlefield, pretty sure they're gonna have a Battle Royale mode. If they're not like taking it seriously, they just do it because that's what's trending, right? And they will do it. It's just whether it gets picked up.
Justin.
The biggest difference is like Fortnite is just straight up free, and that changes a lot of things. Yeah.
Justin, you work in a space where there's a lot of developers all around. Have you noticed anyone really change direction with the development of their games because of this phenomenon?
So we moved out recently, but as of the time we moved out, I think most of the friends that was there, they were still like either doing their mobile games or working on VR or just like traditional games. I think we got a lot of questions regarding Marfold Warfare when we were making it, like, hey guys, are you guys going to make it Battle Royale? And I'm like, I don't think so. Yeah.
I guess that's the thing, is that it's one of these games is 100% reliant on scale. And if you haven't got enough players there to do it, there's nothing worse than having an empty server that takes forever to load up. But one of the major advantages is that it's almost instantaneous that you load in and go. So, yeah, it's some big money, and I guess we'll see where that 100 million goes over the next year or so. Should we put in something, Mitch? Can we run a tournament?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why
Pixel Sib tournament. Bring it on.
Yes.
Give us $100 million and we'll make whatever you want.
Yes, whatever you need. Sell it out for $100 million. I think that's a good price.
Oh, no, I'll absolutely sell out Pixel Sib for $100 million.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's a fair price.
Yeah, you'll be dead to me. It's fine, yeah.
All right, well, let's jump into our next topic, shall we?
Hey there. If you're enjoying the show and you want to hear more, subscribe to Pixel Sift on Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Spotify, or listen on pixelsift.com.au. See you there.
What an award-winning promo.
That is, I would give that award right away. If you're just joining us, this is Pixel Sift. It's a weekly video game show, and we talk to developers. Developers like Justin Ung, who joins us from Singapore. Justin, we've been talking a little bit about your game previously, and we played a bit of it with you on your sort of 24-hour stream, and it seems like you've recovered from that long marathon session.
Yeah.
And
I mean, we joined at the tail end of it. So like I saw him when he was all chipper and ready to go at the beginning, and then when we started playing with it, it was just like, less so.
Yeah. At the very last bit, I was like, make it stop. Why did
these
do this?
Pixels, guys.
Now, for
but it was a lot of fun though. It was a lot of fun.
So you're gearing up for the next one. You're going to run another 24-hour tournament. Why not go 48 hours, double or nothing?
Well, I think it depends, right? Like, we have some ideas to see, maybe for the next, like the actual launch, maybe we could do something. But right now, we'll see. Like, I want to try making streaming a more regular part of our schedule, but right now it's just too much work. Yeah.
Now, for people who haven't had a chance to see either of your games that you've been commercially released, Stifled is a game that kind of was the sort of genesis of Muffled Warfare. What is Stifled if people haven't had a chance to check it out?
Okay, so Stifled, it's a VR and mic-enabled sound-based horror game. So in the game, you use sound to see, kind of like echolocation. So you make sound to see where you're going, but the thing is all the enemies in the game hear sound. So you make sound to see where you're going, but because you're making sound, the enemies can hear you and then track you. Right. And I think the one of the more innovative things that we got a lot of credit for was the microphone input. So a lot of games use microphone input as like a communication tool. And more recently, I think Alien Isolation actually picks up the microphone to kind of let the alien know where you are, and let the xenomorph know. But in Stifled, it's like that's like the main core feature. So in real life, if you talk or you scream, the microphone picks it up, it creates the pulses, and the enemies can hear that. So that's why our tagline is like, they hear your fear. And it's based on our student game called Lurking. Yeah.
So when you're in a VR headset, you are kind of closed off from the world, and it sort of feels like a bit of a vulnerable situation to be in anyway. Has it been hard to get people to put the headset on and play when you say, oh, it's going to be a spooky thing and you're going to get straight into this, horror game?
Okay, so Stifled, you can play with or without VR, but most of the times when we're at events, because we are being published by Sony, we usually have the PSVR headset around. And it does take a bit of cajoling to get players to play, but when they do, they either say it's a really cool experience or they start screaming, which actually is great for the event because people will just crowd around. And even though people see themselves see other people screaming, a lot of times when they see that, they actually want to give it a shot to see whether it's actually that scary. But horror works for different people, right? So when some people, they play and it's like, they look at me and it's like, this is not scary. Then I'm like, I guess. Yeah.
Now, I've got a question from Pretty Fly for a Shy Guy on Twitch. What inspired you to kind of make the game using this sound mechanic? You said it was sort of a student game, but where did that idea come from?
Okay, so there's multiple like kind of origin stories that come, and it's a lot of luck and serendipity. So when we were in school, because we had no kind of, there's no need for financial success, we had no baggage on that, right? So we decided, okay, let's make something different, make something cool. One of my designers on the team was like, hey, let's make a game around sound. And we thought, yeah, okay, that's a cool idea. We could do that. And we started playing with like using the microphone, making sound to kind of see the world. It started off like kind of like a puzzle exploration game, mm-hmm. and then when we couldn't really like sort that graphic out, right, we started to have when we came up to the idea, it was like, okay, we need to make sound to see, right? So how do we screw with players when they use sound to see? And the natural next step was to be like, hey, let's just put an enemy that hears you, right? And once we kind of got to that space, we were like, okay, a horror game just makes perfect sense for this. And to be honest, like, we didn't have any horror game experience when we made Lurking. We were just like, okay, this genre makes the most sense for the game. Let's just do it. And we just kind of figure it out as we go. And during that point in time, VR was like the first Oculus DK1 just came out. Mm-hmm. And we were like, okay, can we do VR cheaply? And so we're like, okay, maybe the microphone will make sense. So we just kind of shoehorned the microphone in, and it kind of worked. And, you know, people seem to care, and it was nice. Yeah. It
sounds like perfect for a tie-in with that that new horror film,
A Quiet Place. I was just about to say that, like, when that movie A Quiet Place came out, what did you think of that?
So if you looked at the Quiet Place, like, graphic design or like the trailer, it looks exactly like the font, the color style, the treatment looks so similar to Stifold. And when it first came out, I kind of like tweeted at Josh. I was like, hey, John, you should check out Stifold. And then some of my friends who play Stifold was like helping me tweet at him as well. But it didn't come out to anything. So
it's going to go, you're going to move on to Emma Blunt and be like, look, tell your husband, John, that he ripped off our game for this movie.
That's not probably the way we're going to go.
Another question from Shai. How do you kind of balance that VR game so that, you know, it is playable and enjoyable but isn't too frightening or isn't too difficult for people if they're playing it?
So our main focus on balancing is to make sure that the players can kind of figure out where they're going, because the nature of the graphics just make it really hard to kind of ground yourself in the world. So that's like the thing, that's the main thing that we balance. We balance how much sound you make in order to see, roughly how much you need to, like, what's the smallest sound that you can make to see, and then how easy it's for the enemy to kind of find you. But when it comes to the part of the horror, we kind of put it very clearly out there that it's like horror, it's a thriller experience. If you're getting the game, you're just going to be in it for a scare, right? We're not going to try to tone it down because we are afraid people get scared, right? We set out to make people scared, and that's what we're going to stick to our guns with that.
Yeah.
Maybe to a detriment of like the sales, but it is what it is, you know? Yeah.
What I've always wondered about horror VR games is there a point where you won't go? Because I've seen some people of playing, when they play horror games on VR, they fall over and they almost hurt themselves and things like that. Is there an experience too visceral that you might not go there?
I think if let's say you were to give me like the whole full-on AAA production pipeline, I might try to reduce the amount of like blood and gore. But with Stifold, the art is so simplistic. We leave it a lot up to the player's imagination. So we kind of push it as much as we can, right? And what we always tell people is this, right? If VR is too intense for you, you can play it without VR. We made it so that it's not two different like game. It's just not two different game packages. It's just one game package. So if it gets too much, just turn off VR, just play it on the flat screen, and you'll be fine.
Turn on all the lights, make sure everyone else is home to hold your hand and go from there.
I need that.
Now, so Stifled was the first game that you kind of put together, and for an April Fool's joke this year, you ended up making a game called Muffled Warfare. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how that kind of came about?
Okay, so the story is I get a lot of shit for this, but as an indie game dev, my favorite game, like that kind of inspired me to get into the games, is really like Call of Duty, like the first Call of Duty, or the first Modern Warfare, Call of Duty 4. So people always ask us like, okay, hey, were they playing Stifold? And they're like, oh, it would be cool if I can shoot stuff, or can I kill the baby? And then that has always been something that I hear all the time. And I was like, yeah, that might be cool. And then I was one, like GDC, like last year or 2 years ago, I was hanging out with like Winston from Samurai Punk and some of the friends. Mm-hmm. And I was telling them about this idea. And then we were talking about it. And then I forgot who, but someone was like, oh, let's call it Muffled Warfare because, you know, that'd be funny. And it's like, Muffled Warfare, Modern Warfare. It's like, oh, yeah, that's a good idea, I guess. And then basically we did that. I don't know how I did it, but I convinced the team that it was a good idea. And then we made it. Yeah.
And then the reception was pretty good. You got to the front page of Reddit temporarily.
Yeah, we got a front page of Reddit until we got taken down for self-promo, I think. You got a front page on NYGAG as well. Yeah.
Nice.
So it's cool. But I just looked at the sales recently. So it's not doing as well as I hope. But we're going to finish the game regardless, because EA is just our way to kind of test it. And we got some plans to finish the game, and we'll just do that. And we'll see what we can do. Yeah.
Is there any opportunity that you could potentially make it into a VR game and kind of really marry it back into Stifled?
So VR is something that some people have asked us, like, the art style really plays very well because we want to experience it. But unfortunately, I'm looking at the sales at Stifled. I don't think it's that it's doing that well. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is, like, I'm having conversation with, like, other business partners to see if I can kind of get it funded. So if there is interest from, like, a bigger publisher or some investors who are willing to do it, I'll be happy to give it a shot. Yeah.
Do you think it's still a bit early for VR at this stage?
Yeah, VR is really cool. But right now it's the price point is just too expensive for mass adoption. So VR as it stands now, it will still rely on the kind of like the commercial or enterprise market for training purposes. So once those people start picking up and using it more for training and the prices start coming down, I think that's where VR will become a household thing. But until then, it is still too early. Yeah.
So you've got a small team. You've moved out of your office that you were previously in, and you did your 24-hour stream to kind of celebrate the last day in the office. What's the future for you and your team?
So right now we're all working from home, and every few days we'll go to one of my co-founders' place to kind of talk about stuff, to keep everybody updated. And it's the digital age, so we just chat on Facebook or like Discord to kind of make sure everybody's like doing the work that needs to be done. And then for the company wise, this year we've got, after Marvel Warfare, we've got another like two more games that we're going to put out this year. There's the third one that I think there's one more game that we kind of scrapped because we believe we didn't see much potential in it, but there's two more games that we're looking to put out this year, and we're hoping they kind of give us a shot, and we'll see. Yeah.
Now, we asked this of a fellow Singaporean game developer, Ian Gregory. What are disadvantages and advantages of being placed in Singapore when you're trying to make a job in and a career in the games industry?
I think it's a blessing and a curse. So I think Ian will say this as well, which I agree. It's like Singapore, it was situated in an Asian, like kind of Asian part of the world. But our influences are very much Western. Like we, from young, we get access to like all the Western films and Japanese films also. Singapore it's a perfect kind of, in my opinion, kind of a perfect mix between like the East and the West. There are some things that are not great in Singapore, but other than that, it's that I think the cultural like advantage or like it cultural viewpoint is very different, and that allows us to kind of work in both kind of cultures, I'd say. But also because like we're in Singapore, traveling to the West, to like America or the EU, it's really expensive and takes a lot of time. I'm sure like the Aussies know as well.
Yeah, right? We can definitely empathize with that.
Yeah.
Are you going to make your way down to PAX? Come see us.
So I was at PAXOS last year. I'm trying to like keep the traveling to a minimal to kind of focus back on game design and game development, because I've been traveling so much for the last 3 years for Stifled that I've not been making games. So this year is like a good time for me to like get back to making games. And so that's what we're doing as a team this year. But if the opportunity arises and we've got something that makes sense, I'll go hang out for sure. Yeah.
Do you know what? It's a nice, easy, cheap flight. Singapore to Perth, $200, Tiger. Thanks to our sponsor, Tiger. No, I'm just joking.
Was it that cheap? Yeah. I mean, I was there last year.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's pretty affordable. Yeah. It is.
Melbourne, yeah. Who needs them?
I'll just crash at Nick's place again.
Yeah, Mitchell have you on his couch, I'm sure.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
He can hang out with all his family and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I love it. Now,
Justin, no one else though, just Justin.
Just Justin. Yeah, no one else can come. Yeah. Now, Justin, if people want to find out a bit more about your games and give them a go and have a play of them, whereabouts can they find that more info?
Okay, so the best place to find us is from our website. You'll get links to all our social stuff, which is www.stifledgame.com. So that's STIFLEDGAME.com. Stifled gets pronounced as Stifled a lot of times, but don't do that. It's Stifled. And then Mouth Warfare. It's muffledwarfare.com, muffledwarfare.com.
And jump into the Discord as well, and you can share your memes.
Oh, yeah, We've got the fancy, like, legit verified Discord link. So it's like discord.gg/gatai games.
Nice.
GATTAIGAMES.
Why don't we have one of those?
We're special. Yeah.
We're not as special as them, obviously. We've got to, we've got to earn the right. So, yeah, they're really good fun. We had a great time when we played the game. And if you want to see what it looks like, you can head over to our website, which is pixelsift.com.au, and you can see some of the some of that 24-hour stream where we streamed some of that game.
Yeah, we kind of just crashed it and
just crashed
and we've got like a new map coming very soon. So
really,
and a battle royale mode, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And so that's you can find all that sort of stuff. We'll be putting links up to all of that on our website, and that website is pixelsift.com.au. Look, unfortunately, it's kind of reached the end of the show, so thank you very much for joining us for another episode of Pixel Sift. So this episode was produced by Mitch Lowe, Fiona Bartholomaeus, and I'm the executive producer. And thank you to Salty Dog Sounds, who've been providing some of the background music for our promos. As always, we'll be sticking all the links up on our website, pixelsift.com.au. And you can support us by visiting the store at pixelsift.com.au/sifter. That's SIFTERS, Sifters, where you get 25% off and get socks and t-shirts and all that sort of stuff. Mitch, we're on social media as well. Where else can people find us?
Yeah, so you can check out facebook.com.au/pixelsiv, twitter.com.au/pixelsiv, twitch.tv/pixelsiv, and youtube.com/pixelsivau, and pixelsiv.com.au/discord. And if you add another one of those to the Google Doc, I am quitting Pixelsiv right now.
And Mitch, if people want to listen to our other episodes, where should they go to as well?
Yeah, you can check it out on Pocket Casts, Spotify now, if you're into Spotify, which I know a lot of people are, and Apple Podcasts is a great place to check out the show as well.
Or go to the website. And our next episode will be not on the 24th of May, because that's today.
It'll be on the 7th of June.
Mitch, tomorrow night, you're also going to be doing some Fortnite.
I remember when I used to have fun on Friday nights, and now... I'm gonna play Fortnite Friday night. Strictly Better will be there.
Oh, you can do Muffled Warfare.
We can also do Muffled Warfare. I think people
wait for the new map.
Wait for the new map, and then we'll do it.
Like a good plan.
Strictly Better's gonna be there, and a bunch of other people that unfortunately will be forced to play with me.
Justin, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us, and we're looking forward to jumping back in. And
thanks for your time.
Shooting people.
I forgot, Snipeful is coming to PC very soon, so watch out for that.
Yeah. Nice.
There we go. Thanks a lot. We will see you all again this time next week, I guess.
Thanks for watching.
See ya.
See you, Justin.
Did you know that the original Final Fantasy creator, Hironobu Sakaguchi, made a spiritual successor to that legendary series called Fantasian for Apple Arcade, and every level in the game is a handmade, physical miniature model? Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing, and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. That's sifter.com.au/arcade for a 1 month free trial of Apple Arcade, and you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. This offer is for new subscribers only. $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled.